$35 million every hour, every day of the year. That's how much Americans spend in Walmart stores. Walmart is the most popular retailer in the world, and I think it's probably safe to say also the most despised retailer in the world. Is that reputation deserved? Charles Fishman is going to answer that question and some others this afternoon. He's got a new book out called The Walmart Effect, How the World's Most Popular Company Really Works and How It's Transforming the American Economy. Charles, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Is it hard to do a story on Walmart? I'm guessing they don't like to talk about their business all that much.
I would say the hardest thing about writing this book about Walmart, which is really only the third or fourth, you know, effort to really understand and explain Walmart in a serious fashion, not that the book is serious, the hardest part is Walmart won't cooperate at all, which I think is foolish because they have many good stories to tell. They are in many ways a remarkable, you know, center of retail wizardry, and their suppliers, their employees, their former employees, the former employees of their suppliers, all of these people are so afraid that if they talk, Walmart will do damage to either their careers or to the companies they work for or used to work for. But that's the challenge. IBM, which is, you know, one of the largest companies in the history of the world itself, said, Walmart has asked us never to speak about how we supply retail equipment to Walmart, and so hopefully never in the future again will anybody from IBM speak about Walmart at all. Thanks for calling.
Wow. Holy cow. So talk about a tough task to have to try to investigate what this company's about and who they deal with.
Exactly. And of course, some of what I write about in the book is material that clearly makes Walmart uncomfortable. It's all true. I set myself another hurdle, which is no anonymous sources. Everybody in the book, there's one little part of the book where people talk about how scared they are of Walmart. Those people I don't name. But everybody in the book who's talking about something substantive, you've got their name and the name of the company they worked for or what they did at Walmart. The hard part was finding those people. I actually took newspaper ads out in Bentonville, in the newspapers in Bentonville and Fayetteville, Arkansas, literally display ads, boxes on page 3 of the first section of the newspaper saying, you know, if you helped create Walmart, send me an email. I'd like to talk to you.
Well, your book's been out about a month now. Have you heard from their lawyers?
No, I certainly haven't heard from their lawyers. I was not concerned about hearing from their lawyers. The book has been fact-checked, and they clearly know about it.
You didn't go all James Fry on us?
No. In fact, I not only had the book fact-checked, I hired my own fact-checker and paid him out of my own very thin wallet.
Smart.
So anybody who tells you that that publishing can't afford fact-checking, send them my way. I'll get them a good fact-checker.
Okay.
And they're clearly aware of the book because it's on the New York Times and Wall Street Journal and USA Today bestseller list. One reporter asked them for a comment. And they said, you know, we're glad to hear that Mr. Fishman occasionally shops at Walmart. We don't agree with all of the portrayal of Walmart in his book. And the employees and customers of Walmart know the real Walmart effect. They used my phrase, which I appreciated.
Oh, yeah, that's a nice plug.
And then they simply repeated, a bit of boilerplate PR about what a great place it is to shop and what a great place it is to work. And there was no evidence, in fact, in the statement that anybody involved in issuing the statement actually read the book.
All right. Let me ask you for your reaction to a thesis that I've long held about Walmart. Maybe it's my theory, not thesis. But anyway, my theory is that the reason Walmart is successful is because people who shop at Walmart don't care. They don't care that companies are pressured to lower their prices and people might be affected by that. They don't care that the people who work there can't get a union going and that Walmart's virulently anti-union. They don't care that the people there might not be able to afford health insurance. They don't care about anything except I could get this at a really low price.
Well, Paul, I'm willing to be a little more generous to the American public.
And by the way, I'm not saying that that's necessarily a bad thing. I'm saying that for the Walmart consumer, it's a single issue question.
Right.
Is it cheap?
Right. Well, that part of your theory I'd agree with. For most Walmart customers, for most Americans, what they look at is the shelf price. I think there's two things going on. One is Americans don't know. Most people, most ordinary Americans are incredibly busy. I think people lead up and down the socioeconomic scale. People lead very hectic lives with kids and getting kids to school and to the places they need to go after school and getting your shopping done and getting your bills paid and making sure the house is sort of habitable and clean, and then all of a sudden it's Monday morning, you got to do it again. And so if you find a place to shop that delivers what your family needs at a price that seems like a good price or reasonable price, and by the way, it's convenient, and in the case of Walmart, you can do a lot of shopping in one place, cutting down the number of errands, I think all those things are very persuasive. Half the adults in America, 100 million people a week, go to Walmart. So in that way, they have been a great success. And Sam Walton focused on one thing. He's been dead 14 years, but he bequeathed this core idea to the people who run Walmart. Deliver the stuff that people need every day. Toothpaste, shampoo, dog food, underwear, deliver it reliably at a lower price than your competitors, and you will win business over and over and over again. And that's what they do. I think the point of my book, if I really believed what you just said, there would have been no point in writing the book. But the point of my book was to say, if you know what's required to deliver these low prices, would you still be comfortable purchasing this material? And let's take a journey together and start to understand what Walmart has to do to get you the stuff on the shelf at this price. Salmon for less than $5 a pound, blue jeans for less than $12 a pair, you know, appliances, power tools, so forth and so on. Let's look at what Walmart has to do to get this to you. Then I'm a journalist. I'm not a pundit. You decide whether you're still comfortable. There are plenty of things that we don't. It would be much cheaper to make everything with slave labor, but we don't do that. We've agreed that's not acceptable. It's almost absurd to even say it. We've agreed that, you know, child labor would be much cheaper too. We've agreed that child labor is appalling and inappropriate in any country in the world. We don't want our products made under those circumstances. In this country, we've agreed on all kinds of rules about how factories can pollute, how people who work in factories should be treated, what the safety standards are, and we, you know, that stuff's all enforced, you know, in different ways at different places and different times, but we have an agreement about that. The point of the book was to say, look at what's required to get you this stuff at these prices. Are you comfortable with that?
The book is The Walmart Effect. Charles Fishman is the author here on The Paul Harris Show on News Talk 1120 KMOX. How do you measure if Walmart is good for a community?
Well, that's a great question. It's a very complicated equation, and what I try to argue in the book is two things. At the community level, community leaders, people who sit on planning and zoning boards and county commissions and town councils, which all sort of seems like boring stuff most of the time, those people take their responsibilities seriously, and they need to understand as much as they can about the reality of Walmart's entry into a town. And in the book, I actually go and track down, there's only about two dozen, 24 to 28, serious academic studies of Walmart's economic impact, studies that you can rely on that weren't paid for by somebody either on the Walmart side or the anti-Walmart side. And the studies are very clear. After 5 years in a community, in a town, a new Walmart store causes between 4 and 5 businesses to go out of businesses in that town. And that number accounts for, you know, recessions and factory closings and economic growth and all kinds of things. The people who do studies like this are very smart. They understand the collateral issues. A single Walmart store opening causes the closing when everything else is accounted for, of 4 to 5 local businesses. And a single Walmart discount store that not the supercenters, but a regular one, that employs 300 people, after 5 years sitting in the community, has created 30 new jobs total. So the 300 people who work at the Walmart store required the destruction of 270 jobs. So those two things are really important because you have to know what you're getting. What Walmart sells is not new merchandise. People simply move their shopping from one place to another. We don't buy more dog food or get another dog because the dog food's cheaper. We don't buy more toothpaste because the toothpaste is cheaper. So at that level, that's what's important. At the larger level, you know, we cope with things that are good and bad for us at the same time all the time. The car, you know, we love our cars. Cars are great for America. They're great for economic development. They also cause pollution and sprawl and death. So we appreciate the good and we try and moderate the bad. And that's, I guess, the overarching argument in my book is, let's understand Walmart well enough that we can protect the good stuff, the low prices, as much as we can, and the efficiencies and the, you know, overarching change in business, and let's understand the bad impacts so we can soften them.
So when there's a line in the book, low prices have high costs, the idea is let's keep the low prices but lower the costs.
Exactly. And let's understand what the costs are. Some of those costs may end up back in the products, and that's okay. You know, where my wife and I live, we could buy a lot of our groceries at a nearby Walmart. It's not a grocery Walmart, but it has a lot of groceries, as they all do now. But we buy our groceries at a nearby store where we know that the employees get health insurance. And they get health insurance pretty quickly, and their families can get health insurance. And both my wife and I get health insurance through our jobs, and we would be unhappy if we didn't. We have kids. We're approaching middle age. And we think we should be willing to pay the cost of cucumbers and cornflakes and, you know, the things you buy at a grocery store that includes enough money so that the people who put the stuff on the shelf and take our money when we check out have health insurance. I think most Americans don't even appreciate that lots of people who work at Walmart and their family members either don't qualify for health insurance or can't afford it and end up on public health insurance. It's a great way to keep your costs down if you're a company. Let the government, let the taxpayers pay for the health insurance.
What percentage of Walmart employees actually can afford the Walmart health plan?
Well, can is a tough issue. Something like a little more than half the employees are insured either through Walmart or through a spouse's health insurance program, and, you know, leaving whatever, 35%, 40%, something like that, to get health insurance some other way or go without health insurance. Tens of thousands of Walmart employees and tens of thousands of their family members use state-level insurance programs across the country. Because even Walmart will tell you the average wage of a Walmart worker is $20,000 a year or less. And that's modest, and that means that if the health insurance is going to cost you $30 or $40 a month, You're gonna hesitate before you spend that $30 or $40 that way rather than, say, buy a tank of gas to get to work.
The book is called The Walmart Effect, How the World's Most Powerful Company Really Works and How It's Transforming the American Economy. Charles Fishman here on The Paul Harris Show on News Talk 1120 KMOX. More after this. Talking with Charles Fishman, journalist who's written the book The Walmart Effect, How the World's Most Powerful Company Really Works and How It's Transforming the American Economy. Great information about the company, and not all bad. There's some good stuff about the company in there as well. One of the things that interested me was not just the fact that Walmart sells stuff at low prices, but how they actually affect the companies that they do business with, the companies that they buy the products from, before they sell them to you. And Charles, if you would indulge me, would you please tell the Vlasic pickle story?
Sure. And you're exactly right. I mean, let's preface that story by saying that's what the Walmart effect is. The way Walmart changes the world is its relationship to its employees and its relationship to the companies that supply everything from blue jeans to lawnmowers to chicken to Walmart, and what Walmart's buying power and pressure does to those companies and their operations. So Vlasic, which is the number one seller of pickles in America, had a kind of novelty item, which was a gallon jar of whole dill pickles. A gallon jar of Vlasic pickles is almost the size of an aquarium. It weighs 13 pounds. And it was intended for small businesses and for things like family reunions. It wasn't intended as a mainstream, you know, grocery shelf product.
You might go into a deli to order some stuff, and they would have this gallon jug of Vlasic pickles, and they would sell them to you for 99 cents each or something,
right,
and they would
exactly.
take them out of this giant tub.
Right. There'd be a tongs and a little wax paper, exactly.
Uh-huh.
Right. And so, a pickle buyer at Walmart saw the gallon jar somewhere and said, "That's really an interesting product. We like to sell lots of stuff cheap. Why don't we see if we could sell that product at Walmart and do a little test and see how it does?" And Vlasic, which, to be fair, they've been doing business with Walmart for a long time. They sort of shrugged and said, "Okay, we'll run a little test." And they put the gallon jar of pickles in a few hundred stores at about $3.47, and it did very well. And so the pickle buyer for Walmart, the person whose responsibility is to buy pickles and all kinds of other condiments, said, "Wow, that's really interesting. What if we could get the price of that gallon jar of pickles down below $3? What kind of product would we have then?" And Vlasic, like many companies, has and had a person whose job was just to service Walmart. That was his job, sell pickles to Walmart. You know, 5 days a week, 365 days a year, that's what he did. And he said, "Well, you know, let's run the numbers. Let's see what we can do." And they ended up pricing the gallon jar of pickles at $2.97. And Vlasic made a penny on that, if they made anything. Walmart, again, also a penny, maybe nothing. And the guy at Vlasic, you know, his job is to sell pickles to Walmart. And that looked like it would sell a lot of pickles. And so they put the gallon jar of pickles on pallets, which any of your audience who shops at Walmart knows that lots of merchandise is just set in the middle of the aisles on a shipping pallet. They put the gallon jars on pallets, and they flew out of the stores nationwide at $2.97.
We should also point out that a gallon of pickles, unless you're a pickle-holic, is pretty much going to keep you and your family in pickles for like a year.
Right, it's basically a year's supply for a family.
For $3.
And it's less than what a quart of cut pickles would cost at the grocery store, you know? So it's an incredible, that's what Walmart loved about it. It's what they call a statement item. Look what we'll sell you. They were selling 80,000 gallons of pickles just in the gallon, just at Walmart. And it was destroying Vlasic's pickle business. They could see those pickle sales cannibalizing the more profitable routine sales at grocery stores. People would just buy the gallon at Walmart and take it home and not buy any of the smaller quantities.
Nobody's getting the little tiny sliced pickles that you might put on hamburgers or the little dill pickles in the jar or any of that stuff. That's all gone because people are getting a $3 gallon.
Exactly. And they had to change the way they bought cucumbers because it turns out, Vlasic doesn't talk a lot about this, but these gallon jars were really made with the leftover pickles that weren't quite the quality that you would cut into spears or slice into chips. And they were perfectly good for whole dill pickles. So they had to scramble to buy cucumbers in Mexico and in Central America to feed the appetite. And after a couple months, they went to Walmart and they said, "God, you know, this is destroying our pickle business. We have no profits. This was a cute experiment. I guess we proved if you price something low enough, people will buy a lot of it. Could we at least take the price back up to $3.47? And Walmart said, "Oh, my goodness, no, this is a huge hit. You can do whatever you want with the $2.97 gallon of pickles, but your competitors, Mount Olive and the others, are standing by. They see the volume you're doing. If you pull the gallon from our shelves, which you're perfectly, you know, entitled to do, take all your other products off too, because we're gonna have a $2.97 gallon.
If you don't sell the $2.97 a gallon pickles here, we're not selling anything Vlasic sells on any of our store shelves anywhere." That's what they said to them?
Right. Because because we're going to give the $2.97 gallon to one of your competitors, and we got to give them your other shelf space too so they can make a little bit of money because no one makes any money on the gallon. And so Vlasic, which was doing 30% of its business with Walmart, had gotten itself and was in a bind. Do you pull out and lose 30% of your business? Do you call their bluff? Do you tough it out and see what happens and let your pickle business be destroyed? And they, in the end, they toughed it out for more than 2 years. And it's an important story. And then Walmart let them cut the gallon in half, sell half a gallon for $3.50. And it's an important story for a bunch of reasons. The first is people say, the supporters of Walmart say, you're just jealous of Walmart. Walmart's a great capitalist enterprise. This is the triumph of the victor. They're brilliant at it. Let them do what they do. But the $2.97 gallon of pickles was not capitalism. There was no flood of cucumbers that needed to be cleared by pricing pickles so cheaply that people couldn't resist them. And there was no fall off in pickle demand that needed to be helped by lowering the price. The $2.97 was a lie. It's not a market price. It was a price Walmart got obsessed with. And then they held one of their quote-unquote business partners hostage to that price. And so that to me is where you sort of see the Walmart effect in a way, and you see the fact that Walmart doesn't really have a partnership with its suppliers. Walmart is in control, and that's also simply not market capitalism. That's central control. In fact, literally within months of Walmart letting Vlasic take a breath, Vlasic declared bankruptcy. There are many reasons that Vlasic declared bankruptcy, but having your pickle profits cut from $30 million a year to $15 million a year, that did not help. And Walmart knew that Vlasic was struggling for complicated reasons that had nothing to do with actually the management of Vlasic, and still they persisted in this effort to sort of, you know, make a statement that worked for Walmart, but it didn't work for anybody else. And it wasn't even good for the pickle business, because Vlasic figured out people weren't eating the pickles fast enough. They were just rotting and being thrown away.
Mm.
So that's to me one of the really unappealing sides of Walmart, when they use their muscle to set a price that ignores what the market would normally do and then causes all of these misbehaviors and distortions where we just respond to what Walmart does.
As one of the great stories in The Walmart Effect, how the world's most powerful company really works and how it's transforming the American economy, it's already a bestseller and a great read. Charles Fishman here on The Paul Harris Show on News Talk 1120 KMOX. We'll come back and include some of your calls after this. 314-436-7900, toll-free 800-925-1120. Charles Fishman's book is called The Walmart Effect, how the world's most powerful company really works and how it's transforming the American economy. And we're going to include your calls now. Michael, you're on the Paul Harris Show on KMOX. Hello.
Thank you. I'm coming home from the airport here, and I was listening to this, and I've been doing business with Walmart since the late 70s, back when they didn't have as many stores as they do now, of course. But Walmart's an evolving company, but what a lot of the things that this gentleman's saying, and I'm not a Walmart apologist, believe me, is that the May company does the same thing, did the same things that they are doing. Dayton Hudson or Target, they do the same things. Kmart, Sears is the worst at it, and they don't get the bad publicity because they're not the big guy on the market.
That was going to be my next question to you, Charles. Isn't this the same kind of business that every major corporation does?
Well, Michael's right, and that's a good question. A lot of companies behave this way, and some suppliers, in fact, to give Walmart credit, will tell you they'd much rather deal with Walmart than others. Sears, Kmart, Target, for all kinds of reasons. Walmart does what it says it's going to do. When it places an order, it takes the order if you deliver it the way they tell you to, and it pays you. There's
That's right.
A fundamental integrity about the way Walmart does business. I would disagree with the caller in one sense, though. No company has ever had the scale that Walmart has. It's one thing for Sears to say this is how we want it done when Sears is, 1% or 0.5% of all retail in America. Walmart's 10% of the entire retail market in America. It is 2% of the entire economy in America. And in many important categories, like toys and health and beauty and, you know, hygiene products, bicycles, pet supplies.
Could I address one other thing, too?
Hang on one second.
Wait, let him finish, Michael. Hold on.
Walmart is 25% of the market. So when you start exerting this kind of control relentlessly and you basically are running the business for those companies, that's a different beast.
All right, Michael, make your point.
You're talking about the wages. I will tell you this. I have a friend who has a large manufacturing facility just outside of St. James, Missouri, and he had to raise the wages he was paying his people, which was one of the best places to work in the St. James area, when Walmart moved their distribution facility in because they raised the wage rate about $2 an hour in that market. So you have to understand that sometimes rather than taking the wage rates down, there are instances where they take the wage rates up in some of these rural communities and make the people a tremendous number of jobs and jobs they'd never had the opportunity to have before.
All right, Michael, I'm glad you called. I want to get to another caller. Ben, you're on KMOX. Hello.
Yeah, I was just wondering, did the author research the supply chain management and how I've read late 70s, early 80s, they're one of the first companies to actually start switching to all electronic supply chain management.
And right, I don't know what you're talking about. Charles, do you?
Yeah, sure. Walmart is brilliant at moving things from the people who make them to the warehouse, to the store. That, in fact, is what their expertise is. They started using computers to help them do that, to get the stuff where it belongs, to predict which store would need what, when. And yes, that's a great benefit to everybody because they make warehouses and trucking companies and packaging much more efficient. And by doing so, they're doing the equivalent of turning out a light in an empty room. You know, they are saving money where no one loses and everyone benefits. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's why Walmart is such a complicated company. They do many things brilliantly that we should be happy they do. And often that comes from their size, from their scale. And then they do things because of their scale that really should make us uncomfortable. Let me go back very quickly to Michael, though. I would bet that he's gone, and so he can't respond. But the person he knows who's running a manufacturing plant who had to raise wages to compete with Walmart's distribution center, that guy's factory is not making merchandise for Walmart. That's all I would say about that.
All right. Ben and Michael, I'm glad you called. Charles, I'm all out of time today, but I will suggest that people who want to know more pick up your book. That's why I have a link to it on my website, harrisonline.com. I know you've got a website also called walmarteffectbook.com. That's effect with an E, by the way. And
three chapters are excerpted there for people to get a little taste of and decide whether they want to buy the book. They can read a little bit before they buy it.
And if you do want to buy the book, it's in all your finer bookstores. Is it on sale in Walmart?
No, it's not on sale at Walmart stores, but if you're so inclined, you can buy it from Walmart.com.
Isn't that interesting?
Walmart.com.
I love that. Charles Fishman, the Walmart Effect here on the Paul Harris Show. Thanks for your time today.
Thanks so much for having me.
My pleasure. It's News Talk 1120 KMOX.